Now, new research reveals that on average, we will spend 12 hours a week in our outdoor space during the summer months, with 85% of us determined to roll up our sleeves and get out in the garden as the weather gets warmer, hopefully. But as millions of us prepare to get our garden summer ready, new research has revealed how clueless we are when it comes to our outdoor spaces. Oh dear. So I've enlisted the help of botanist and broadcaster James Wong to give us some good gardening advice. Hi, James.
Hey there, how's it going?
Well, thank you. And it's a bit grim reading, isn't it? We don't seem to know much about gardening in this country.
This is the fascinating thing, right? So when I was at Fiskars, commissioned this research, and I was flipping through it with them, and what I was fascinated about is the contrast, right? So you have 85% of Brits desperate to get outdoors and commune with nature. You have a lot of people spending 12 hours a week. And I think, I mean, even I don't spend that. It's my job. 12 hours a week is an astonishing amount. And yet, at the same time, on the other end of the spectrum, those same people are terrified about it. You know, you have a quarter of people are worried about ripping up what they describe as a flower instead of a weed. We have 30% of people, actually over 30%, 32% of people worried about overwatering plants outdoors, which is something that you don't have to worry about. There seems to be this big fear about gardening. And what I would say is in gardening, you know, even as a professional horticulturist, there are no mistakes. There are just experiments. And the way you learn in gardening is precisely through trying stuff out and seeing if it works. You know, if you look at a lot of the old gardening books, a lot of that stuff isn't actually backed up by any research. It's a lot of opinion. So go out and have fun. And if something fails, just try again.
It's interesting. In the research, I'm sure it says something about people overwatering plastic plants as well.
Oh, really? See, this is the thing about overwatering. There is good evidence to suggest that with houseplants, overwatering is the number one killer. And that does make sense because, you know, in a potted plant indoors, it has exposed to less light and less heat, so the water doesn't evaporate as much. And in a pot, there's nowhere for the water to go, particularly if there's a saucer underneath it, as most houseplants would have. Now, outdoors, that's dramatically different. It's very difficult to overwater a potted plant outdoors, I would say. And in the ground, like in soil in a garden, it's almost impossible, unless you're talking about, you know, really drought-tolerant Mediterranean-type plants in winter. It's very hard to do that. So what I think this research shows is that there's a big difference between people's perceived fear of gardening and whether they're actually really getting things wrong. So, you know, people always ask me about the secret to a green thumb, or they'll often say that I'd love to garden, but I can't because I don't have a green thumb. A green thumb is not some kind of genetic trait. Trust me, I kill plants all the time, and it's my job to, you know, teach people how to grow them. You learn through trial and error. And the two secrets, I think, if there is such thing as a secret to a green thumb, is persistence, to just pick up and try again. And the other one is having good gardening tools, because no matter how much information you have in your head and knowledge you have about how to do them, if you're using, you know, old school, my granddad's splintered, incredibly heavy wooden tools, which, you know, I actually have tools from my granddad and I love them, but if I'm digging a big pond or something like that, it's fiber comp all the way. You know, 25-year warranty, super light, and you spend 5 minutes digging with what I think people think they're plastic, but they're a modern material called fiber comp. If you use a fiber comp tool, digging a pond is, I wouldn't say exactly easy, but it's half the effort, because a lot of the effort you're doing is just picking up the heavy wood.
And again, having lawnmowers, you're going to have to watch about cables, and when you're using electrical stuff, there's a safety aspect to this. And if you're visually impaired, even more so, you have to be organized with this kind of stuff.
Absolutely. You know, the common, you know, like comedic cliche of stepping on a rake. I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
Have you really?
It's a real thing. It's a cliche for a reason. I don't have a visual impairment. And things like losing garden tools, I'm losing them all the time. So what I would say about for certain things like that, you know, having a tool belt is really useful, because you know exactly where to find each tool as long as you put it back in the same place, and it becomes quite intuitive. And the other one is, you know, if you have simple things like really brightly orange, my garden tools are bright orange handles, and it's much much, much less easy to mistake that or misplace it than it is if they're, you know, a wooden kind of one that blends in with the surrounding soil. So there are simple tricks and tips and tricks to get over it.
And if this is the first time that somebody with a visual impairment is starting to garden, I mean, you don't have to renovate the whole garden, do you? You could just take a piece of it, mark it out, and work on that small piece, as you say, like an experiment.
Absolutely. So this is the funny thing. You know, I think a lot of people in the gardening industry always talk about the era of makeover shows like it was a golden era. There's this wonderful time where people would like dedicate to blitz up their outdoor spaces. The reality is that's not how gardening is actually done. You know, you don't have a team of 50 people that turns up and like suddenly transforms even a tiny outdoor space. The reality is you probably have a window box that you're dealing with. The reality is, you know, many people may not even have an outdoor space. So when I garden outdoors, largely in my mum's garden. I live in central London. I only have a tiny balcony, which I also garden on. But a lot of my time, a disproportionate amount of my time, is gardening indoors. So something as simple as a fish tank or a terrarium or a window box can really transform your life. I don't have a visual impairment, so it's difficult for me to know exactly what it's like, but I imagine something like a terrarium or an indoor space with lighting may help if you have a partial visual impairment. You'll be able to physically see things better. And it's a really easy place to start. And then you can carry on as complicated as you wanted to make it.
And herbs, they're very easy to grow, aren't they?
Herbs are one of the easiest types of plants to grow, and there's a good reason for that. Aromatic compounds that we appreciate the flavor from are usually defense compounds. Plants don't make those compounds for us to enjoy. They make them to defend themselves against tough environments. So most herbs that we would eat on a daily basis come from a Mediterranean-type environments, mainly the actual Mediterranean, where they have to contend with high amounts of UV light, really low amounts of water, and really low amounts of fertilizer. And what that means, if you're a lazy gardener who doesn't remember to water their stuff and can't be bothered to fertilize, and I think that's, you know, at some time or another is all of us, herbs are a great solution. Many of them will actually grow quite well indoors as well. So, you know, parsley, sage, rosemary, all of those things. With the exception, actually, of parsley, if you're trying to grow it from seed, it's tricky. But if you buy it from a plant, it's not. All of those are really, really difficult to fail with at the first hurdle, I'd say.
And last time we spoke, I was quite proud that I'd become the father of the first lemon on my lemon tree, and but since then, true to form, I've managed to kill it.
Explain it. Walk me through it. See if I can help you.
Well, I think basically I was terrified that I was going to overwater it, and okay. I think I didn't water it enough. I think that was the thing.
Okay. So the wonderful thing is, if you haven't watered it enough, it's actually much, much better than if you've overwatered it. So lemon trees come from the Himalayas, but they're adapted to a relatively dry Mediterranean-like climate anyway. So if it's not totally dead, so it still has some leaves on it, if you have a visual impairment, the stems will still feel supple and firm rather than dry and brittle. They'll break. If you can are able to see the color, if you break open that stem and can see green on the inside, the plant is still alive. It just aborts its leaves when it doesn't have enough water to prevent water loss. Simply watering that, particularly at this time of year when the light levels are good, can help bring that back.
Right, I will take your advice, James, and I'll report back to you next time we speak.
Okay, good.
And quickly before we go, another thing is a greenhouse is a great way of being contained, and you can grow certain things in there and know exactly where you are, can't you?
Absolutely. I perhaps it's a good way to control variables. So because there's less ability, for things like wind to move things around, but I'm imagining that it's easier to remember where things were, for them to still be where you previously placed them, for example. So greenhouses and general interior spaces would be a more predictable environment, so you don't have to worry about as many external factors. Things are more predictable and simple to do.
Right, we haven't got enough time to cover all the things like lawns and all sorts. Where can we get some easy advice on this?
So I've been slowly updating the fiskars.co.uk website, which is fiskars.co.uk. And that has more information about the study. And I think, you know, some of the findings in this are nuts. That the amount of fear combined with desire, I would imagine that you'd have few people wanting to do it, and because they were worried. People want to do it, so just give it a go.
And it is a great feeling, isn't it, that there's something spiritual about working with plants and things like that and watch them grow.
there's really good evidence now. You know, I think if you talk to any, you know, gardener who's, you know, actively does gardening, it's sort of intuitive that gardening makes you feel better. But now there's really great scientific evidence that suggests there's not only physical but also mental health in a very measurable way associated with spending time in outdoor spaces. It's something we could all do.
James Wong, great advice there. Always a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's been fun.